Stay tuned for your 3CR podcast, featuring interviews from Bundles Fire Radio Show. 3CR is an independent community radio station in Fitzroy, Victoria, on the unceded lands of the Kulin Nation. For more information, go to www.3cr.org.au. I've got a very special guest in the studio, none other than Dermot Hannigan. Is that right, Dermot?
That's correct, Robbie. Yeah. Good morning, everybody.
Now, you're going to talk to us about the 44 flats and their intended demolition and a bit of the politics behind that.
Well, that's right.
And, you know, and some of the, you know, what's going on with the state government and the property developers and the sneaky way they operate. So what have you got for us, Dermot?
Well, I was going to talk about the Legal and Social Issues Committee's report on the proposed demolition of Melbourne's 44 housing towers, and then I'm going to talk about a Freedom of Information proposal about to the Department of Families, Fairness and Housing re the catastrophic collapse of the sewage stacks at Elgin Towers, which did not happen.
What does it make believe?
I think it's a very good story to give the public the impression that people are swimming in their own shit.
Good reason to close it down, yeah.
That's right, especially when it didn't happen.
Yes.
So I'll talk about that as well.
So how do you describe that? Is that treachery? What's the word? Corruption?
Well, it's straight-out corruption, basically. And it's, I don't know where the story's coming from as yet. I know Ryan Batchelor keeps on repeating it, and so has Dan Andrews and Anthony Albanese.
We're talking about 44 flats, which is a fairly substantial area of public land and public housing there. This is what we're talking about.
Well, it's the transfer of the largest public asset in Victoria over to the private developers, and it displaces probably around 20,000 people from their homes, if you include the young children and others that are living there, and it puts it into the hands of private enterprise, purely and solely for the basis of them making more money, which they don't really need.
Well, that's capitalism and greed for you, mate. That's how it operates. That's where it runs. Listen, well, I'm just going to let you cut loose.
All right.
Give us the story.
Let's go. Well, there was an inquiry into working out what were the reasons for the decision by Cabinet to demolish all 44 public housing towers and hand that valuable land into the hands of the property developers. Now, that committee put out a report in early December, which is typical, just before Christmas, so it doesn't hit the media. And the chair's foreword, which is the first part of the report, states, "A central obstacle to the committee's work was the government's ongoing refusal to release the technical evidence underpinning its decision. Despite repeated attempts, the Parliament has not received the documents required to properly scrutinise the policy," which is absolutely and completely extraordinary, because if you're going to make such a major decision, you need to have the evidence. And the government said that the documents are cabinet privileged, but if the documents are cabinet privileged, there is a parliamentary process that requires the governments to first produce the documents, including those subject to cabinet privilege, so that an independent arbiter can assess any claim of executive privilege. This arbiter process has never been allowed to operate in Victoria because the government routinely withholds the documents altogether. In doing so, it prevents proper scrutiny and withholds important information from the community. This is contrary to the standing orders, a barrier to parliamentary oversight, and a technical contempt of Parliament. The council has previously suspended ministers for similar non-compliance. Now, this is coming straight from the report. Now, so it's pretty frightening, really. The person that's holding back on this is essentially the Attorney General, who is now, her name's Kilkenny, but it used to be Jacqueline Symes. Jacqueline Symes has now become the Treasurer, and Sonia Kelly is the Minister for Planning and also the Attorney General. So we've got the Minister for Planning also holding the position of head lawyer and controlling whether or not all of these documents that we need to see whether the Cabinet made the right decision become part of the information that the public has the ability to look at. Now, the Attorney General's role is the guardian of the legal system and ensures the integrity and effective functioning of Victorian courts and tribunals. So the Attorney General looks after our laws. Now, I'll take you over to the Supreme Court's decision. There was a human rights case in the Supreme Court. And a judge, Andrew Keogh, another lawyer, made a decision that the documents that were required were privileged. Now, did Andrew Keogh obtain the documents in question and read them before he made the decision? Since the documents in question are primary technical documents written by architects, building surveyors and engineers, does Andrew Keogh have the technical acumen to be able to assess the relevance of the documents to the matter in question? It's a no-brainer that the documents provided by Homes Victoria, which were prepared by outside consultants and are instrumental in Cabinet making the decision to demolish, must become part of the inquiry into the redevelopment now in play by the legal and social, by the Cabinet. We realise that the government is resisting the request from the Legal and Social Issues Committee for the documents by invoking a load of legalistic hogwash under the guise of cabinet privilege, being the need to keep discussions which occur within cabinet sheltered from the eyes of the people who live in Victoria, under the misnomer that it would be against the public interest. The reason for this sophistic spell woven by the Attorney General and her lawyer gang is a corruption of a rational process, is because the documents required are technical submissions prepared by outside consultants and paid for out of the public purse. They have absolutely nothing to do with internal discussions between members of the Cabinet, which is the purpose for holding Cabinet privilege over certain documents. So as members of Cabinet, they may have free and robust discussions. The Attorney General knows that if the documents are submitted to the clerk and an independent arbiter was to assess the documents, they would be released. Why is the government so intent on keeping these documents hidden? Answer: only one has to be familiar with the Elgin Towers to answer the question. Situated on the corner of Nicholson Street and Elgin Street in Carlton were two 17-storey red brick housing towers. These buildings contained 196 people. The buildings were structurally sound and the units were in a satisfactory condition to meet the needs of the people who lived there. before Homes Victoria took over the public housing portfolio from the Department of Health and Human Services, there was a plan to place to repair the plumbing stacks at 141 Nicholson Street. Some of this work had been completed prior to the decision by Homes Victoria to demolish the two towers. What happened was the tenants from the Elgin Towers were removed. This was achieved through the auspices of the towers requiring extensive works to the water and sewage systems, despite the fact that the problem had already been identified and a plan was in place to replace the plumbing while the residents remained in the towers. So we've got a situation where we've got an inquiry, we've had an inquiry. The chair, Joe McCracken, Dr. Renee Heath, Anne-Marie Hermans, Anastasia Gray-Barberio, Rachel Payne, all stood strong and requested that the documents be shown. But they still have not turned up. And we are now waiting, we have to wait 6 months for the government to reply to the report, which is a frighteningly long time because during that process, Homes Victoria is continuing in its steamrolling position to continue its work on demolishing the towers. And just recently, Minister for Planning announced that there were another seven more towers that were on the chopping block for demolition. And she also intervened in a heritage application, and she is now in control of the heritage application. So we've got a lot of collusion going on within the government. We've got the Attorney General, we've got the Minister for Housing, Harriet Shing, and we've got Ryan Batchelor, who's the Deputy Chair of the committee that was looking into the redevelopment of the towers, all working together to hide the documents and create a story that the public housing towers are too old and that they can't be renovated because that wouldn't work, even though there are multiple reports being made to the committee that show that it would be cheaper, less disruptive to the people living there, and would create less damage to the environment if those towers were renovated. Furthermore, the work that can be done in the renovation would be done by small to medium-sized businesses. They would purchase product from local suppliers, but once those towers are demolished, the work will be done by multinational, transnational corporations, and most of the products being used to rebuild those towers will be of inferior quality and will come from overseas, which personally I don't think is a very good idea. Now, recommendation 7 of the report says that the Victorian government halt all work associated with the redevelopment program until it provides condition reports for each building, feasibility reports into the alternatives to demolition, and the cost-benefit analysis for each site, which demonstrate evidence that demolition was the best and only feasible option. So we've got an upper house committee that says, please can we have the documents, please don't demolish until you provide the documents, and what's going on? Now, at the same time, during this whole process of the inquiry, Ryan Batchelor, who's Labor, continued to tell a big story about a catastrophic sewerage collapse at the Elgin Towers, which he said necessitated the emergency evacuation of all of the residents of the towers. Now, it so happens that at the time of that so-called collapse, there were probably at most only two people living in those towers, if any at all. And the information on the ground, including the plumber who worked on the towers, says that there was no sewerage collapse that occurred there. But this perception has then been carried through to the other 44 housing towers to give the impression that they're going to demolish the towers in the interests of public safety and for the benefit of the tenants. So what we need to do is put in a Freedom of Information request to the Department of Families, Fairness and Housing, asking them for the plumber's report on the condition of the plumbing stacks. The tender documents specified work required to replace the plumbing stacks. Quotes from the plumbers to carry out the required work. Commencement of work reports. Payment records for the work that was done. That was during the early stages of the work, because Homes Victoria sent out a notice to all of the tenants saying that they had to move, not necessarily out of the towers, but to other parts of the building whilst these plumbing works were being carried out. And this was in November of 2019. Now, Ryan Batchelor comes along during the public hearings and makes the statement that there was a catastrophic sewerage collapse in late 2022. That's 2 years later. So part two of the FOI requires the initial report of the catastrophic sewerage collapse. Where is that? The plumber's assessment of the catastrophic collapse, because if the sewers have collapsed, you'd have to get a plumber in to have a look at it and see whether or not they could be fixed. Where is the decision to evacuate the remaining tenants after the catastrophic sewerage collapse? Where's that documentation? Where's the documentation that shows there was an interaction between tenants and Homes Victoria staff so as to enable the emergency evacuation, removalist invoices, invoices for emergency accommodation during the time that this emergency evacuation occurred? A plumber's assessment of the damage, quotes to repair. The decision not to repair. And the clean-up reports of the spilt sewerage. So all of that needs to go to the FOI, and then they can respond and say, yes, we have the information, there was a sewerage collapse, or they can say, no, we have no evidence of a sewerage collapse, there was no sewerage collapse, which then says that Ryan Batchelor is telling porky pies. And where did he get those porky pies from? Where was he fed those lies? Did it come from Homes Victoria? Did it come from the Property Council of Australia? Because it's certainly in the interests of the property developers. And sadly, the state of Victoria has only one industry left, and that is the construction and building industry. And it, at the moment, needs another project because it's nearly built all its tunnels.
They're still ripping off the environment, like, pillaging and plundering. They're into the rare earth minerals now.
Well, they are in northwestern Victoria. They're going to create an enormous amount of damage there in the mining sector. Basically, because Australia is merely a colony. It's built of a colonised structure.
But you're right. It's just all they've got is construction. That's why that's all they do. What else? Really, what else have they got?
Well, the construction industry is built of debt. So it profits the banking system, and the debt grows and grows and grows. Eventually, the debt cannot grow any longer and it will fall over. So it's not sustainable. But in the current environment, we have an economy built off debt.
Is that what's going on in the United States at the moment? Is it about to collapse or is accumulated debt and over a long period of time? They just keep hiding it and it's still there, though, and now it's going to...
Well, I think in the United States you've got a cabal of the wealthy people headed up by Donald Trump who are working in their own interests and they're not working in the interests of the country. So they're driven by oil. I mean, look at what they've done to Venezuela. They've gone and got the oil out of Venezuela. They're looking at Greenland. They probably want to get Canada so they can join Alaska, Canada and America together. So they're a predatory operation that works in their own self-interest to make themselves more and more money, which they don't really need.
Australia's like...
And we're
Mark II, America.
We're part of that model. So instead of developing our own local industries,
and why didn't they do that? Why didn't they take advantage of the wealth and things like that? The multinationals are taking out the wealth of this country. It's going overseas.
Well, we had it in the 80s. We had the infrastructure to do it. And then along came economic rationalism, and both major parties.
Was that the Hawke era and the Keating era?
Well, Keating sort of had a plan. He had a plan, and that was working. But then John Howard came along and annihilated what was being developed at that time. So there was quite a lot of work being done on stimulating small exporters and medium-sized exporters that were value-adding through manufacturing. This is in the early 90s because we needed to turn our $2 a kilo blocks of cheese into $10 a kilo cheesecakes, but that required a fair bit of sort of work. And the financial structures that are in place that are set up by the colony do not assist and sustain economic development in terms of making things, because the model taxes activity. So if you're running a cheesecake factory that's exporting to Japan, you pay about 30% of your turnover, not your profit, your turnover, in taxes to the government. It comes out of sales tax, PAY taxes, all sorts of taxes that are there. Whereas if you're running a mine or even a big sheep station, which are capital-based entities, you only pay about 5% tax on your turnover. So... as you're trying to develop your industry, you're feeding the beast in Canberra, which means that the businesses and they're not sustainable and they can't grow, because the money that's being drawn out of them by the government to sustain their luxuries is needed to develop those businesses. And at the same time, they're not taxing the multinational corporations that are taking the minerals and resources out of the country. They're avoiding the taxes by transfer pricing. That is, they have a company based in the Cayman Islands or somewhere like that, so they sell their iron ore or invoice their iron ore to that company at a break-even price, and then the company in the Cayman Islands then re-invoices the customer at the other end with the higher price. So the company in the Cayman Islands is sitting in a tax-free zone, and the Australian government misses out. And Kevin Rudd came along and tried to change that by putting in a resource rental tax, and he got the chop.
Yeah, well, there you go.
So that's...
Well, the chickens came out of the roost, they say. Yeah.
So this is a similar... The public housing thing is just a similar model. It's a model of ripping into a resource, seeing that there's money there.
I'm a witness. I live in the high-rise down in Richmond there.
Yeah.
And I've just seen the demise, the deliberate demise of the place, and then maintenance is still allowed to go, you know, and they're sort of forcing people out. But, you know, people still don't know where they're going either, and there's no clear plan on what happens to the residents. They're promising this and that, and it's
very unclear. I know in Elgin Towers and in Collingwood, they let the heroin dealers into the top floors of the towers.
Yeah.
So as their customers were coming in and travelling up and down the lifts, which...
And controlling the laundries and other places.
That's right, which made it very hard for the people who were living there, especially mothers with children, to actually live there, because they were constantly getting abused and terrorised by the customers.
Yes, and if you... Got much information about that, because it's the situation down there where I live as well. They've allowed that to happen, and it's crazy.
Well, we moved. Well, we shifted it from Collingwood down there, so yeah. Then the baggage comes with the movement, and the people who are supposed to control it, that is the Victorian Police Force. Don't do it. So they allow these operatives to run free. It's not good.
No, it's not good.
Not good at all.
It's not good at all. It's been going on for the last 12 months like that where I am.
Yeah, not good. But it's done by design.
Yes.
It's not done through chance.
No.
If you're going to run a heroin market, then you need to have a base where you can store your product and your goods, and you need to have a safe place where you can store your money at the end of the day. So the top floors of the Housing Commission towers are an ideal spot from where you can run your base.
Well, seems that's... What's going on? You nailed it there. That's exactly what's going on where I am.
And there's lots of then brown paper bags that float around in that sort of type of an economy that allow it to continue.
Hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, listen, mate, thanks for coming in.
No worries.
Sorry not being there for you, but I caught up a bit.
No, that's all right. That's all right.
And it worked out pretty well.
And I think there's some people going to stand outside Parliament House tomorrow. I think it's around 11 or 12 tomorrow.
All right.
To protest about the public housing towers.
Okay, I'm just going to play this. Say goodbye.
Yeah.
Play this housing crisis thing. We're coming up to 11:30. Listen to Bundles Fire. I've been with Dermot Harrigan. Hannigan. Thanks for that, Dermot. Appreciate it, mate. And we'll get you in again soon and talk about that business, all right?
See how you go.
All right, mate. Thanks for listening to to a 3CR podcast. To listen to a full audio of Bunjil's Fire radio show, a historically informed critical analysis of Aboriginal affairs and the ongoing political movement for land rights, treaty, sovereignty and the cessation of genocide, go to 3cr.org.au/Bunjil's Fire. If you want to support independent black media on 3CR, please go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online.